I asked that we would have a sermon reference to the Westminster Confession of Faith, just so that we'd have it in our bulletin here. And I want to read now the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 3. And maybe I'll just do the first two articles of chapter 8. Hear what the church has summarized a few hundred years ago. Of Christ, the mediator, this is the topic. It pleased God in his eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son, to be the mediator between God and men, the prophet, priest, and king, the head and savior of the church, the heir of all things and judge of the world, unto whom he did from all eternity give a people to be his seed and to be by him in time redeemed, called, justified, sanctified, and glorified. The Son of God, this is the second article, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, being very and eternal God of one substance and equal with the Father, did, when the fullness of time was come, take upon him man's nature, with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, of her substance, so that two whole, perfect, and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, composition, or confusion. Which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. Now, I'm not sure if I read the correct, if that's allowed an updated version of this, but it was easier for me to read a modern English version of the Westminster Confession of Faith. And it's important to recognize that this teaching falls within the pattern that the church has long accepted to be the truth that the Word of God itself speaks to us. And now, with Luke 2 in mind, I've read it once, that's probably good enough for now, but if you have your Bibles open to Luke 2, if I make a reference to it, we should have that handy, because that's what I'm preaching, is Luke 2, verse 8 to 20. And particularly, you can say, this is about the shepherds. Congregation loved by Jesus Christ, we have a few topics this evening, and this, you can tell, is about the incarnation. You know, Christ is true man and true God, that the Son of God himself took upon himself true human nature. That's the event when Christ came into the world, and we know him as Jesus, who is true God and true man. So that's one topic, the incarnation. But this is also, this passage about the shepherds is also about the Word of God being communicated. And it's significant. I will probably focus on that a great deal here. That the shepherds are reliable at bringing the truth of God to the people. And thirdly, we'll hear about the glory of God. And by that, sometimes we mean different things. But I really hope from Luke 2 that you have a sense of what delights God. What pleases God. And maybe in more understandable terms, because that's kind of abstract, because God in all his glory, what delights him, that's hard to figure out. But what is filling the angels with excitement? What is heaven filled with? So the glory of God as a third subject in this chapter of Luke 2. Now, let me get to this. What's happening here in Luke 2 is that in that region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The first coming of Christ and how it was announced is so different from what we expect for the second coming of Christ. I mean, the second coming of Christ, we will be in any place on this planet Earth. Trumpets sound great. It will be unmistakable that Christ returns. He will return in glory. But notice how contained this is in Luke chapter 2. How bottled up this is. That the first coming of the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, it comes with all authority and power, but only to a few and to shepherds. The message I'm bringing this evening is that we would notice heaven's excitement and joy that's coming through the shepherds. First of all, it's coming to the shepherds, but then it's coming through the shepherds from them. So glory to God in the highest. That's the message. Heaven's excitement, glory to God in the highest. And notice the message to the shepherds. Why God brings the message of Christ's birth to a few, that's always puzzled me. And I'm not sure if I have a solid, clear answer to that. But only to a few people in some hill country region near Bethlehem in the fields. I mean, it's not even the city. And that evening that Christ was born, imagine that you are one of these shepherds. Use your imagination a bit, that you are up in the hills and it's cool, like evenings get cool. You're keeping watch by night, and you can imagine from where you're shepherding that there's this little town further away. You could see maybe some guys left their candles on because they don't have street lights. But anyway, down there is Bethlehem, and it's the town where people are. And get your geography figured out. You're in the hill country as a shepherd, and all around you is Judea. And beyond that, all around you, 360 degrees, is the rest of the earth, the world. And so you have to be asking, why do you get the good news? Why this exclusive story? Because here's what's happening. All at once, there's this bright light, right? It's paralyzingly bright light shines, and it brings you to your knees. All this glory shining around, and now God sends an angel to you with this message to you shepherds. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's amazingly packed message there. A very short, it's like a text message because it's so short and filled with information. But I'll point out later that this is good news and great joy for whom? For all the people, and it's hard to tell in our English, but for unto you, unto y'all, is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Right? You're a shepherd and you're told this is a message for you all, for all the people beyond where you are just in that field. And this message for the shepherds, I hope you notice how it's packaged. It's not a boring message. It's coming with awe and splendor. And they are so filled with great fear because how the angel of the Lord, it was that the angel of the Lord appeared, but how he appeared as well. The glory of the Lord shone around them. That's how it was brought. And they are coming to their knees. But that's not it yet, because it's even more awesome. You catch this. It was after the one angel with the good news, you read this text and it's like, suddenly there's like, whoosh, all around. The sky opens up, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The birth of Christ. The news of the birth of Christ comes with such authority, such awesome splendor that you cannot mistake it. No matter who you are, this message is from God and it brings you to your knees. You have a glimpse now of God's joy, what makes heaven excited. And nowadays, people love to hear a message of Jesus' birth, born gentle, meek, mild. Something is lost, I think. I think it's never alarming to anyone who hears the good news of Christ's birth, no one ever associates it with fear anymore. You get no fireworks display. Nothing amazing, no bright light from above. And in a way, the events of Christ's birth and how we remember it, it's getting watered down. It's lost on us. Maybe it's even reserved for a certain time of the year. Maybe we get a little too casual about the message that the Son of God came to earth, right? Which is what's motivating me to bring that message even this evening. Jesus Christ was born. And this is the nature of a message. Any message, you might forget how it came to you. You might forget any message how important it is, right? I got a text message the other day, and I'm like, oh, I didn't have time to respond, and it just gets lost. And yet this one, how awesome it is. And we're going to be hearing what's left of that message in your life. How important is this to you, to the church today? So let's back up and think for a moment what it's obviously been going on in heaven to bring this moment about. You know, we're not really told what's going on in heaven in Luke, but when the sky opens up and all the bright light all around, those angels are saying glory to God in the highest, it's as if the sky over top of the shepherds has become a window into heaven. And in that moment, the sounds of heaven, the glory of heaven, the excitement of heaven is leaking down upon the earth toward the fields and the sheep and the shepherds. And the message is, glory to God in the highest. So you see the point. The ultimate excitement and joy has started there before God, in His presence, where God, it's with God. That's where awesome glory is, and it filters down. And what is God excited? I'm not sure if that's the right word to say it, but what is heaven excited about? What gives God great delight? What has made all these angels line up for this field exercise? Glory to God in the highest. God in all heaven is filled with the news that this baby Jesus is the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior. And you actually hear this explained a wee bit. God in all heaven is bursting with this news. So the angels are saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among those with whom He is pleased. Right? That's kind of filling it out, what that means, that Jesus is Savior. You know, the earth is filled with unrest, turmoil, warfare, just anger and rage all around. And it's not just the world in terms of what God has made the creation, and creation itself groans. You can read that in Romans 8. But you know this in your experience, that relationships are suffering. How much peace do you have in life? People versus people, you know this. And even within your own self, in your own heart and soul, you're hardly at rest. There's sin, there's guilt, there's desires that are just always trying to bend out of control. There is no peace between earth and heaven. And there's no peace on earth. So what's the glorious news from heaven that's coming down? I know a lot of translations struggle with this. And the reason that it struggles with these words, if you have a King James or a New King James background, you'll notice that the translation is quite a bit different than what we have in the ESV. And there's a reason why this is challenging, is because it's in Greek from a Hebrew language. So it's lost by multiple translations, not the information, but how easy it is to communicate is lost, right? So glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let me say it like this. It's like six words. Three pairs. It goes like this. Glory to God. Just ignore the small words. Glory to God. On earth, peace. Goodwill men. Right? So you just put hyphens in between. But glory to God. On earth, peace. Goodwill to men. And that's the message in short. It's coming from God. Undeserved grace and love and peace. And this is what's making for excitement in heaven. That the earth left to itself, you know, be under God's wrath. This is what we bring upon ourselves. Judgment. Curse. Trouble. And yet here's God and here's heaven opened up with good news of great joy for all the people. Hear it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God is saying, I will bring peace on earth through Christ, my anointed one. And this is my goodwill to men. I will show my grace. I will save sinners. That's the message that the angels are overflowing with. And it's like a vacuum-packed message. You know, sometimes you buy a pillow, you get a pillow, and they stock it on a shelf really tight like. You bring home the package in this wrapping plastic. You just cut it with a knife and like, poof, it's really big. This moment in history is so filled with excitement that's all bound up in this little child. And given time, this Jesus, the Son of God, he will live life leading everyone around him to God's glory in the highest. And he would suffer, he would, for God's glory in the highest, he would die on the cross, he would rise from the dead, for God's glory in the highest, for peace on earth, for God's goodwill to men. This little child. And so all God's glory is concentrated, hinging on this one child, one person, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And you cannot walk away from this evening, Luke chapter 2. You cannot walk away thinking that Jesus is just one way of life and peace and goodwill. As if this joy of heaven, this glory of God is just one of many ways of spiritual fulfillment. I think you really missed the point of what Luke is saying. What the angels are saying. Jesus Christ is the glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. All of it in him. And even, you know, if the sheep could talk, the sheep in the fields that night, they get the message that all of this points to the Son of God. The world revolves around him. And if there's peace in your life, in your soul, in your relationships, in your country, in all creation, if there's any peace, it's coming from the Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the point is, all glory to God in the highest. It's filtering down through the opening in the sky, and it comes from God first. Comes from God in heaven first, and it's coming filtered down almost like a funnel through a few angels. First one angel, and then the multitude of angels to the next messengers, which are shepherds, to people who hear it from the shepherds, to you. And is there any excitement left? Is there any joy after it has come from heaven above down to earth? Any good news of great joy for all the people? Anything of glory to God in the highest left in your life, in the church? So let's go to the second point, the message from the shepherds. God's glory is motivating and moving the shepherds. What they've seen and heard, they're not just going to sit and stay in the field. It gets them moving. And so they say, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The Lord made this known to us. Angel messengers brought the news, but yes, it came from the Lord himself. Let's go to Bethlehem. And you maybe know this story. The shepherds go there, verse 16. They go there fast, in haste, and they found Mary and Joseph. And they found the baby lying in the manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. You see, what God has done, he has sent the shepherds. And it's not all about the shepherds. It's nice for the shepherds to know. It's good. It's important. It's comforting, encouraging that the shepherds know what God is doing for all the people. But for glory to God in the highest, they have to go. That's why they're there. Something of the awesome encounter that they've had, heaven above the fields opened up, gets passed on reliably over in Bethlehem. That's why you think of inspiration when you hear about this, that God has, through his Holy Spirit, conveyed the truth. And it's gotten to the shepherds, and they can repeat the truth, and it's all there. You haven't lost anything in translation. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Right? What was that? Born to you in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And the saying, to God in the highest, glory to earth, peace to men, goodwill. And here's where the shepherds are taken seriously. Little side note, I'm aware that there's a modern trend where people have been saying how unreliable shepherds are. There's a whole trend to say how they're at the bottom of the social ladder. Nobody takes them seriously. And they do that. I understand a lot of people do that to say, you know, God comes to the humble. He comes to the lowly to exalt them. But you don't need this passage to say that. You find God exalting the lowly in so many other places. You don't have to imagine that the shepherds are at the bottom of the pile. You see their message is taken seriously by the people. And the scriptures record this. Verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And the only way they're wondering at what the shepherds told them is that they took it seriously. I mean, they're not shrugging it off. This is what happened. They heard the message. The people in Bethlehem, they heard the message. And it's no longer about the shepherds. It's not really whether the shepherds were really awesome at communicating the message. Just like it wasn't important how awesome the angels were. Because their job was to communicate. This Christ is God's glory in the highest, Prince of Peace. He's a gift of God's favor to men. And they heard that message and they thought about it. They wondered. And the shepherds aren't done. You see, verse 20, they have to get back to their sheep and they return. And how are they returning? Glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So these shepherd messengers are giving you a glimpse of heaven. And they're abuzz. It's as if heaven still has a window open. Even though the fields are back to normal, the sheep are grazing and all the rest, the shepherds are buzzing. They are glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. So, brothers and sisters, I want to bring this to the point here. You have heard the message. And hopefully, you've sensed the joy of God over the news that He sent His Son. You heard heaven's joy. What makes heaven full of excitement? Glory to God in the highest. You are a window into heaven. And is that message, glory to God in the highest, coming from you today? The message about on earth peace, to men goodwill. Is the message of God's love for the world that He sent His Son so that sin and death and friction and unrest and turmoil do not win? Is that coming from you? The church is this window into heaven. And you are a messenger. You hear the good news of great joy from God delivered through angels. Just think about this. Is it reliable when it gets to you? Because it has come from God in heaven, through angels, through shepherds, but now it's a little longer journey, right? It's gone from shepherds to disciples of Jesus who probably wrote it down themselves, through scriptures, through preachers, all these messengers, one after the other, and today you are a window into heaven. What is your message? Is there glorifying and praising of God? Are you saying glory to God in the highest? Because that is what we see when heaven is open. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are times in the Scriptures where we really get a glimpse of what pleases You and Your delight to look upon this world that could and very well should have been left to its own ruin and destruction. And we see the delight in Your face, that You would find it in Yourself, in Your own heart, in grace. You would look upon us with favor, all that You've made, and You would seek to redeem a people for Yourself. We see this delight this evening, that You wanted to send Your own Son and put on full human nature, true human nature on Him so that He would be true man and true God. Lord, we thank You for this glimpse of Your great glory. And we thank You also that we can see how this glory can be communicated over thousands of years. And we can get it reliably. And You move our hearts again through Your Holy Spirit so that by Your Spirit we are actually excited. Heavenly Father, continue to work in us a love for the different teachings of Your Word. And help us to grow closer to You so that we have the mind of Christ, so that we think Your thoughts after You. Oh Lord, this evening we pray that You would continue to bless us and this week that we have coming up ahead. Lord, in this week You know the trials, the ups and downs that we have coming our way. Prepare us for them. We pray that You would bless the Thurston family, that You would comfort them. Lord, hold them near to You and bless the funeral service tomorrow. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that You would bless the calling process of a new pastor for this church, this congregation. We pray for Your name to be lifted up in all of this. And we look to You because You are the good shepherd. You love Your people. Continue to show us Your face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.